Rise and Shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:05 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan KFNS. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn with you. Welcome to the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, where hot takes will be spewed and ideally will provoke your opinion. And hopefully you'll post about us on social media and then it'll lead to no monetization, but still you'll talk about us and then somehow we will think we are winning.
That's the goal?
Right, right. Okay. Ideally, you get into the business with no clue on how to operate the business. So if you can...
Give me some examples of that.
If you can, it took the last 10 years.
Ah.
Doug, it's a 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling, serving the St. Louis area since 1904. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. We welcome our listeners to text in, to call in, 855-282-8255. Let the kids play!
Hey, come on. Whoa. Come on now.
I'm sorry. Whoa.
Come on now.
Whoa. I've just been wanting to...
That take was too hot.
I'm trying to get people to tweet about us.
Okay.
Let the kids play!
Oh, nice. Come on, Zebra. Put the whistle down, Zeb. Come on, bro.
Nice.
That was the worst Final Four game I can personally remember.
You ever seen Missouri Norfolk State?
Well, that wasn't a Final Four.
Felt like it, though, with the excitement in the arena.
Well, I think it was first round.
Yeah, matter of opinion.
Okay. Next to the Missouri Norfolk State game, that was about the worst NCAA championship game that I could remember.
Nice take also.
Not just because the referees ruined it, but because the players weren't very good either.
Well, can you hit some free throws up in here?
Gotta hit your free throws at boards. Gotta hit your free throws at boards.
How about the big pole? Karnofsky. If he could hit a two-footer, Gonzaga would have won that going away. How about use the backboard? How about use the glass just one time, pole?
Age caught up with him. He's 47. You knew at some point there would be diminishing returns for that fella.
He kept trying to have the soft little finger roll from 3 feet. And did he make any of them? He made a layup at the end, but that was about it.
He was very good during the tournament, and he wasn't so good last night.
What you have to do...
What do you have to do?
When someone is guarding you and you're going up strong, you have to use the glass. Otherwise, it's really hard to have a soft little touch when you're going really hard and someone's hacking at you. It's hard to have a little soft finger roll touch.
I guess
you got to go up the glass.
I guess Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and his sky hook was an awful move. You may step down.
Totally different.
Step down.
Totally different. He wasn't right next to the basket with that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to watch some ball.
I'd love to coach against you.
Buh, tied for first.
I'll be honest, I didn't make it all the way through the game.
Because they started too late.
Doug, the tip-off was at 8:20.
Yep, so that's what, 9:20 on the East Coast, so the game is ending after midnight for more than a third of the country. Perfect. Makes good sense.
Why not
take the game away from the kids? How do you look your fourth grader in the eye and say, sorry, you're going to bed at halftime?
Nice.
How many things can you blow in one championship game?
Nice.
And let's apologize to all Polish Americans when we talk about Karnofsky.
Karnofsky? Szmet?
In no way are we trying to put Polish Americans in a bad light. Let's get that out there.
No.
We're not singling out one part of the community. He just didn't have a great game.
No, he couldn't hit a two-footer. I was really pulling for them. They've never won it. In Carolina, they don't have to go to class or anything. There's two reasons right there I was pulling for Gonzaga.
You are just hot-taking galore.
I wanted to see Roy Williams cry. That's what I wanted to see. Our kids don't have to go to school. We give them the grades.
Roy Williams now has 3 NCAA tournament titles in North Carolina. The first, of course, coming in St. Louis in 2005 against D. Brown.
Yeah, I was rooting against him then, too.
2009 against Tommy Izzo at Michigan State. And then last night against the officials. Put the whistle away!
Let him play now, Zebra!
Calipari, Izzo, and if Pacino was in here, we're talking Italian special. We're talking rigatoni, marinara.
Doug, the
one time they should have blown.
Chasey Lane?
The one time they should have blown the whistle is this scramble for the loose ball on the rebound in the final seconds. Meeks of North Carolina, he's out of bounds. He's got his hand out of bounds. Referee is standing 2 feet away from it. He missed that.
Tough call to make.
But no, the guy, he had his hand. He was 6 inches out of bounds. Come on, Zebra.
The Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas has installed Kentucky, Duke, and Louisville as co-favorites for the 2018.
I don't want to hear about 2018. They're
tournament.
Not done recruiting yet.
Tournament.
They haven't had the first practice. That came out before they went off the court last night.
Uh-uh.
Yes, let them finish this season, and then we'll worry about next. Come on, prognosticator.
Keep an eye on the value of West Virginia at 25-1.
I'm not going to keep an eye on any of that. I'm just not.
People like what Archie Miller's doing in Bloomington. They're at 20-1.
What has he done? He's been there a day and a half. Missouri's not done recruiting yet. They got a scholarship to give. How do you know how good they're going to be?
Apparently not very good. They're not favorites to win the tournament.
I wouldn't think so. No, but I think they might get in it now.
Dodgers, Marlins, Brewers, Twins. I don't think they're very good, Phillies.
How many millions did that guy make?
I think Konzo's going to talk about using the glass and hitting free throws like today.
First practice.
Use the glass inside. You haven't got the touch to do little finger rolls from 3 feet. Use the glass. How many air balls did they fire up there last night?
Six.
One guy hits a three, banked it in from the side. What's that?
You stayed up the whole way?
Yes.
Yeah, I stay up to watch the ball is tipped, and there you are. The wonderful Luther Vandross.
They took it away from him for a couple of years. Jennifer Hudson.
Right.
But they reinstalled the late Luther Vandross, and it was good. But the thing is, when you take a look at this tournament, Baby Bida, South Carolina, and Frank Morton, and those kids from Columbia East, there really wasn't a team that I think really got people excited from a small conference. I think when you take a look back at this tournament, you won't really remember it. So, Doug, when you take a look back at this tournament, you won't really remember it.
Tournament.
And there weren't really any players that just completely lit it up either. I mean, there's guys who had good tournaments. But there wasn't one superstar that just emerged as a, oh my God, you got to see this guy.
Doug, Joey Lunardi has Missouri playing Princeton as a six in the East next year.
How are we going to know that yet? They still have a scholarship to give. How are we going to know who they're playing?
We remember Princeton, of course, and it was a Pete Carril and using the backdoor passes.
Oh, yeah. Time and again, those smart guys would catch everybody else
sleeping. UCLA, so that's something Missouri will be able to take a look at that game film, and I'm sure Konzo Martin already is reviewing.
It won't be film. They haven't really shot game film in probably 40 years, maybe some video. So let's get away from the term game film, if we could, and B-roll.
How early should Konzo Martin start looking at tape of Princeton?
There's not tape either.
Everyone
they don't
will tell
use
you,
tape.
We have to get better at teasing.
Okay. Coming up, Derek Wolf will join us.
They don't use tape. They use video, digital video. There's no tape involved. I don't expect he's looking at any tape or film right now at all. He might be looking at some video. He's still got some recruiting to do. How do we know how they're going to play against Princeton next year? It's not even on the schedule.
There are six in the East.
It can't possibly be.
Tournament.
What did Aerosmith do the last night? I saw they were trending on the Twitter tweets. Did they show video of them playing? Would they work with Macklemore last night? Nurse? Nancy?
I didn't see that.
I thought we were talking tournament.
I did too.
Because it was at halftime of the tournament.
Oh, I didn't see that. I got something to eat.
What'd you get?
Jinx Coke.
A little snick snack.
What'd you snick?
Yeah,
I had a little ice cream.
Good for you. You rewarded yourself after a good Monday morning show.
Yep. Had a little ice cream.
Wait a minute. This is because this isn't you. You
no,
said,
isn't.
I'm going to sit down. I'm going to watch this basketball game.
That's right.
With all the warts and all the scars with not using the glass and bad free throw shooting.
Right, officiating.
And I'm at halftime, I'm going to enjoy some ice cream.
That's right. That's what I did.
I'm going to say Rocky Road. I'm going to go on a limb here because most people would say vanilla. I'm going to say Rocky.
Mint chocolate chip.
Right. Rocky Road. Iggy, what do you pick?
I have no clue.
Okay. Doug, what was it? Oh, sorry, Plowsy.
Plowjack.
He always talks about this. Is it the cherry?
Cherry Bordeaux.
Good knowledge.
Yes.
Normally, that would have been it.
Okay.
But we didn't have any. So I really got a little bit crazy, stepped outside of my comfort zone, and had some vanilla ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Are you okay this morning?
Yeah, I'm okay. Feeling a little younger, in fact.
Got any tap water?
A little spring in my step. Yep. That's what I did. Already watching out-of-town baseball games because of this stupid fantasy baseball that I worry about. But I got a couple home runs from Chris Davis, so...
You're okay.
Maybe I'll come back. I don't know. My team's not off to a good start. I blame the computer.
You're a day and a half in, baby.
A lot of malware problems during the draft. I got some of the players I wasn't intending to get. Somebody hacked in. I think Russians, probably. Hacked into my fantasy baseball.
Doug, you can get involved in this program by calling in 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. It's the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You can email into the program for our Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. And Anheuser-Busch presents TMA Live at Hot Shots in Wentzville. And that's taking place on Thursday night. So come on out to Wentzville and see what the word is. Apparently a lot of our listeners live out that way, and they are excited about us coming to their turf on Thursday night. Expect a pony show and starting to get some rumblings of tribbing.
That's right there off 70, isn't it? The Hot Shots? Is it just a little bit south of 70? Right after you make that...
Cattle tell you.
Yeah, it's
I think everything in Wentzville's on 70.
It's 70, and then you'd make a left at that place, right?
Shrub.
You're right there.
All right.
So that's TMA Live at Hot Shots Wentzville on Thursday night. The Seamaster, Iggy, and the Plowjet already have put together a magical, magical presentation for you, and we welcome you to join us at Hot Shots, Doug. And this will, of course, be after the first round of the Masters. I plan on spending time breaking down a lot of the sand play in the first hour, and then breaking down a lot of the wedge play in the second hour.
Stuff you don't see at other tournaments.
Engaging in ass play in the third hour. Something that I'm looking forward to. And Doug, it's the first round, and maybe windy conditions on Thursday and Friday for the first and second rounds
in Augusta.
Doug, tell us about this tradition that's unlike any other.
Oh, look over there on the 13th hole. Right there is where gentleman Dal Fensterwall hit a tee shot that hit one of the Georgia pines, and I'll be darned if it didn't ricochet right back onto the fairway. Fensterwall was able to recover in dramatic fashion and take his bogey. And the 13th is forever known as Fensterwald's Fairway. A tradition like no other. You just don't see trees at any other course.
Let me tell you something, buddy.
Oh.
If you ever went to Augusta and just walked the course and had a pimento sandwich, you would change your mind.
I'm never,
Iggy, did you go to Augusta?
Never having a pimento sandwich.
When did you go, Iggy?
Was it 97?
Was it 97? That was you would remember. That was Eldrick's year.
No, then it wouldn't have been that. It must have been earlier. No, because Tiger hadn't played it. Tiger was still
95.
An amateur.
96, so Jose Maria Olazabal was 94.
I just went for the practice rounds.
Did Maria Olazabal win at 90?
I don't like the way you pronounce his name.
Well, it's Olazabal.
I know, but I don't care for that.
It looks like Olazabal.
It does.
To Americans.
So let's just say Olazabal.
Faldo won in 96.
Yeah, well, that was the Greg Norman debacle. 95, Doug? Who won in 95? Was that Gentle Ben? Or was that earlier because Harvey Penick had passed away and he was emotional as he sank?
I'm not even hearing you. I'm still obsessed with Olazabal. In what language does a Z get pronounced?
Spanish.
I don't care for it. I've never heard any other name where you don't pronounce a Z.
The rain in Spain falls gently on the plain.
For many years he was called Olazabal.
It's Chasey Lane.
Everybody pronounced it differently. No, it was just I went for two practice rounds. I didn't get to go to the tournament.
Really?
Let's not get caught up in
but it was beautiful.
Pronunciation. Let's talk about the pimento sandwich.
These lips will never enjoy a pimento sandwich. What could be worse than pimento cheese spread on two pieces of bread? No, thank yous. We're going to go to work so we can eat sushi off a naked woman? I'm not having a pimento sandwich. I don't care how much of a tradition there is.
Tim, would you have one? Then it would be cool.
No, that's not my bag, baby.
It just sounds horrible. And it is horrible. So let's not pretend it isn't just because
everybody raves
it's at
about
the
it.
Master.
Everybody raves about
they
it.
They rave about like... everything at the Masters, no matter what it is. This is the best I've ever had.
I enjoy
nothing
it.
Like this anywhere else. Well, you could go to Schnucks and get some pimento spread.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
Why wouldn't it be the same?
Walking the fairways of Augusta and eating a pimento sandwich.
I'm not going to have the pimento sandwich.
It's a tradition like no other.
In fairness, Doug, the music's playing. Can you take yourself mentally to that beautiful course, wrap yourself in the tradition that is the Masters, and pretend you're walking along the greens eating a pimento sandwich? Does this change your view? Go ahead, take us there. Take us there.
Oh, I remember when Gabe Brewer enjoyed a pimento sandwich on the third hole and then blew groceries on the fourth. He would never be the same. He retired a year later. No one's ever thrown up on a course like Gabe Brewer did at the Masters.
Windy conditions, Doug. Well, how many DraftKings teams will you allot now for players who...
I won't have any. I won't. The elitist, nose-in-the-air attitude of the people that run the Augusta National. I'm not interested in it. I'll watch it, sure, but I'm really not interested in it.
I'm meeting with the listener who finished in ninth place last year, and we are assembling our 150 teams today, and very bullish on our chances to win $1 million. And like I said, I'll give you guys $100.
Which listener is this? Is going to tell you who's gonna do well?
I don't know if he wants it, or maybe she. You know,
could be.
Wants their name out. I don't know if he or she does. I'll be happy to share with you. I mean, do you go contrarian? Do you go, oh man, everybody's going to be on Spieth, Johnson, and McIlroy, so I'm going to have to go contrarian? Some people think 45% of participants are going to be on Dustin Johnson, Doug.
Oh, okay. You go for it.
Well, no,
why would you not like Dustin Johnson? Isn't he number one player in the world?
Well, you might think he's going to win, but if you want to win, you can't be with everybody else.
Well, he might have to be part of your team if he's going to win the thing. It's the other guys you got to pick.
Like Lee Westwood and Larry Mize.
Well, what is Larry Mize now? 60 years old? I wouldn't necessarily like his chances.
He plays well in strong winds on 74-yard courses.
Yeah, that course rewards shot makers.
Yeah.
Wow. Like the others don't.
Timmy, can you ask Doug? I left the Spieth out on a few lineups. What does he think? Thanks. That's from Stacy Reck.
I think it'd be pretty stupid. I think you take the guys you think have a really good chance to win, and then you change the other parts of the lineup.
Oh, you mean like your core players? Who would be your two core players this week?
Johnson and Spieth.
I don't know if you can afford it, baby. Otherwise, you really might have Larry Mize on your roster.
Really?
Yeah, he's at 6,000. Six.
Okay.
Yeah,
burned Wiesberger. I like my team, Timmy. Why don't you use my team for one of your 150?
Sure, why not? Iggy posted it yesterday on the fan pin. Doug,
are you going to tell us what your team is?
He's big on Kisner.
Join the Facebook page again.
Don't tell me what to join.
Yep.
Well, then you can read it.
Okay, don't tell me. Boy, I don't know how I'll sleep tonight.
I've got Rory winning it. That was my big pick. But then I also put a couple guys in there around 73, so I could sneak in a Bill Haas. I could sneak in Sergio Garcia.
Doug, what about ball striking? Is that going to be important this
ball
week?
Ball striking will be big, yeah. Course management is another thing that comes up at the Masters, and the Masters only.
From the 314, kind of a good text here. Paul Casey is a play.
Okay, we could throw out any name now who's going to be in there.
He's on
any
my team.
Name.
He's on my team.
Of course.
He's a play. Huge news that will occupy ESPN when they have nothing else to talk about today. Tony Romo is retiring, a above-average quarterback for a number of years who hasn't played. This is all coverage all the time on ESPN right now, so I feel obligated to tell the listeners that he is going to go into broadcasting.
Okay, that's exciting news.
Don't you think it is odd? Don't you think he would try to play some more?
We can't stay on the field. And he's got the kind of injuries that if another one happens, you know, maybe he's in a wheelchair the rest of his
life. Got enough cash, young family, broadcasting entities are interested in him. I don't blame him at all.
Yeah.
I want me some glory.
And wherever he's going to go, most likely he would be going to a team that isn't particularly great.
That's true, but some guys prefer to leave on their own terms, try one more time to be on the field. I thought he would. Maybe I don't know enough about
it. I think the NFL is a different animal, man.
From what I've from what I've seen, he's got tons of personality. He's a really smart guy. He'll probably be really good on television.
Yeah. Married a University of Missouri J school grad, Doug.
Well, they don't rely on her salary, that's for sure.
There, I mean, the broadcast business is quite a lure, Doug. As you know, I could have played baseball, but I instead chose to be an aging sideline reporter.
Well, shoot, this is so darn glamorous.
You've seen the glamour.
Yeah. I witness it walking in on the red carpet here. The stars, the starlets that follow us.
What do you think? You think people would rather play the sport or be in broadcasting? Maybe at a middling local affiliate or sideline on regional?
I think it's a toss-up. As a player, even as a mediocre player, I saw the average salary in baseball this year is right about $4.5 million. So you could make $4.5 million for 1 year and play the game for 6 months, or you could make $38,000, maybe $41,000, by being a reporter covering it. Hard decision when you figure in the glamour aspect.
Your thoughts, caller?
Doug.
Yeah.
You're gonna go on the radio. You're gonna go on air and do commercials about Stone Summit Seafood and Steaks, and you don't even know where the hell it's at.
No, I've not been there.
Oh, but you're gonna do a commercial about it and talk about how great it is.
I don't even remember doing it. Somebody apparently handed me a new sales sheet and said, "Look, we have a new sponsor. Will you do this commercial?" I said, "Sure, I will. I'm sure it's a fabulous place."
You talked about how the food was good and that you loved it.
Yeah, boy, that food is good out there. I loved it.
You've heard tell.
Stone Summit, it's off Highway 70 and Highway Z. You get off there. It's at the Winsville Bluffs. You're going to find the Hot Shots right next to there. I'll be there Thursday night at 7.
No.
Can't wait to see Tim. I got special treats for 50 people.
50 different people are getting treats?
That's what I just said. 50 people are getting treats.
What kind of treats
Excuse
are they getting?
Great. Excuse me, Adam? Adam? Yeah, I noticed you said you were looking forward to Tim. I know sometimes you're sideways with Doug, but you did leave me out there. Makes me wonder where you and I stand.
Is your name James?
Yeah.
Is it James or is it Jim?
It's James Harrison.
He just said that.
Can we not?
I can't hear sometimes because your AM radio phone line is a little crappy.
Oh, my word, Doug.
This guy's holding us accountable. Yes, it's James, to be honest.
I like that name.
All right. So does that mean you're looking forward to seeing me now or just him? You can be honest.
Thursday night, off of Highway Z is where Hot Shots is, on Winsville Bluff, crossroads of the Nemesis Grand City in America.
Okay, we didn't hear that last sentence, really.
Something about the crossroads of America? I always thought that was Effingham.
Oh, Effingham, Illinois. Is that home of the wooden shoes?
I thought it was the crossroads of America.
Effingham.
Yeah.
And by that, we mean what? It's not the geographical center.
No, it's not. But that's what they call themselves. That's what they call themselves.
The geographical center is what, Kansas City? Just a little west of Kansas City?
Oh, Wichita? Home of the Shockers?
Well, something like that.
That's pretty good. Derek Gould, Larry Nickel, Dave Peacock going to be with us. Today is the day of the Prop 1, Prop 2 vote. The question that I posed on the fan page and then also on the Twitter tweets, do you believe St. Louis City voters will vote yes on Propositions 1 and 2 today, and in turn, the city builds a new MLS stadium? So far, 53 vote no and 42 vote yes on the fan page that it will get voted and approved. On my Twitter tweets poll, Doug, which I posted 59 minutes ago, 53% vote yes that the city voters will approve it. 47% vote no. That's 620 votes there. That's on the Twitter tweets.
I kind of think it'll get approved.
I do too.
They've had a pretty strong push, and they've had some notable folks come out and say that it would be a good thing for the city. I think that there have been some economists even that have come out and said it would be a win for the city. Not that a lot of people are going to pay attention to what an economist said, but most of the publicity that's out there has been rather positive for it, I think. And I don't think there's going to be a strong run on the polls to vote for the mayor. I think that's a foregone conclusion. Who's going to win that? And I think the lighter the turnout, probably the more likely it is that the thing passes.
I think one
side
had
opinion
a more
of the
push.
PR firm is that the lighter the turnout, the bigger the problem it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that. I would think that the people that really want it are going to turn out in mass, and there'll be a whole bunch of people who don't even pay attention to the issues or say, I don't know, I'm not going. That'd be what I would think is going to happen.
We'll find out what Dave Peacock thinks. He's going to join us like at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
I hope it passes. I think it'd be good for the city. I do understand the questions about it and whether or not it's the best use of money. And I understand there's parts of the city where there's really nothing. People have nothing, and they're wondering why the money goes to that. I do think overall it's good for the city.
Well, as I understand it, the money would come from the most of it from the use tax. So yeah. People actually use the stadium, and those aren't people that are using the areas of the town that need help. And I guess there's some businesses that do. It's not all businesses. It's some businesses that do out of state transactions. It's rather complicated, I think.
It's for really complicated.
Mine, anyway.
And my guess,
but I think
it's
mostly a use tax.
My guess is that both sides can make compelling arguments. One, that it's good and the city will be used, the money will be raised by the folks using it for the most part and will help, and the other side can raise other questions. At some point, though, the city needs to build things and try new things.
Mm-hmm. Instead of lose things.
Joe Buck tweeting last night the following. We need cranes building things in downtown STL, young people and businesses moving in and staying. Vote yes on props 1 and 2 for MLS to STL and our future. It's Joe Buck with a Twitter tweet.
I've heard people say that if you want to know how well a city is doing economically, you go into a city, look, see how many cranes you see.
I agree with that, actually.
If they're building something, things are going a long way.
I do agree with that. Now, that's strictly perception. I don't then dig into data, but I agree with that. And you don't see many downtown.
Much going on.
They're revising the arch grounds.
There's certainly more than there was 7 or 8 years ago, right after the big stock market hit 2008. I mean, there wasn't construction going on anywhere. Just around where I live, even in the county, I've noticed a significant increase in construction projects.
We're going downtown, though.
Yeah, saying downtown, it's better than it was. We've got the arch and why they did what they're doing to Keener Plaza. I haven't quite figured that out yet.
You like it?
No. I mean, you talk about money going to something that where it didn't need to go to.
You talk about tournament.
Was there anything wrong with Keener Plaza and the little amphitheater and the fountains? Was there anything wrong with that?
Needed an upgrade.
They've spent how many millions and how long to turn? And it's a park. I mean, the one thing that didn't need fixing in St. Louis was probably Keener Plaza.
Boy, you're arguing with yourself because some of the improvements at Keener Plaza. Do you remember, Tim, during the Winter Classic, they had an outdoor rink where people could skate on a 6-foot square thing of cardboard?
That wasn't at Keener Plaza. That was in front of the arch.
But that was one of the new things that they're trying. These are upgrades.
Yeah, it's
these
not
are,
there anymore.
These are upgrades.
It's gone. It's not there anymore.
They're bringing it back for the next Winter Classic.
There won't.
Guys, the bigger issue is that the stadium is connected to Prop 1, not the stadium and finances itself. The Metro won't get built, and those funds will be used at government discretion, which concerns a fiscal conservative that doesn't trust government like myself. Voting for Prop 1 and 2 still in hope more than following my rule book.
What?
Well, what's his rule book?
I don't know. Maybe call in?
Call in, big man. Like to hear about your rule book.
The use tax is a sales tax just on out-of-state goods bought in Missouri.
Yeah, that's the thing tied into the businesses. It's state goods that are other states. Hell, I can't explain it. Maybe Dave Peacock can. You know what?
He'll be with us at 9 o'clock.
Sure he can.
He'll be with us at 9 o'clock on the radio program. Here in the 7 o'clock hour, which is brought to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling. They're coming out to my house this week, Doug. You ought to come out to my house, too. And see my air conditioning.
Well, they're going to have workmen out there.
I'm going to call this place because
Design Air Service.
I hear good things, and you know what I have, Tim.
What do you have? What
I have? I'm blessed enough to have what they call zone heating and cooling, which I still don't really know what it means.
It's for big shot. You don't know what it means.
Oh, it's the best.
Except one room in the house is always too hot or too cold, and these fine gentlemen are going to come look at it and fix it up.
Designairservice.com. Designairservice.com. It's hard to stop a train.
Are you angry at me?
No,
Doug,
I suspect you have issues with the ductwork. If you've got zone heating and cooling, you're probably okay.
Salt and Smoke's the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I'm thinking I might have to get it tonight. Watch some Cardinals and Cubs and enjoy some Salt and Smoke brisket. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Let me ask you. I know you're a city resident. Where do you come in on the vote today, Prop 1 and 2?
I would love to tell you. I'm not allowed to by the paper at this point. At least that's my understanding of what we have as a policy. I know that they're really on us not to kind of reveal too much about where we stand on certain issues as far as, you know, staying unbiased and everything. Now, I'm not going to cover. I don't think unless something really goes topsy-turvy today, I'm not going to cover it. So at least I can talk through it. I live in the city. I'm happy to live in the city. I'm proud to live in the city. Don't take offense to this, Doug, but sometimes I grow tired of friends who live in the county telling me all about living in the city.
Yeah.
There are things about living in the city. You know, I'm taking my kid to school. Obviously, I wish schools were better in the city. There's crimes that have happened not too far from where I live. There was a shooting. I wish there were things better in the city. But I also recognize that throwing money to the city without knowing where said money is going is not always the best plan. And there's something very intriguing about knowing where money is headed and having it earmarked towards something. I also would really like to see a soccer team in St. Louis. I'm not going to hide that. Now I have to think about other ramifications and think about other concerns when it comes to these propositions. But I do see the balance and do believe in the benefit of professional soccer in St. Louis.
I realize you're like Kirk Herbstreit when it comes to calling a game because of what the Post-Dispatch has asked you guys to do, and I totally understand where they're coming from with that. In talking with compadres in the Tower Grove region, do you think that this will pass? Not saying you're yes or no on it, but do you think it will pass?
Right. Okay, so I have to understand I haven't been around for 50 days. So I have not had any conversation with my neighbors, except for one of them came up to me and said, welcome home.
Were the people in Jupiter, Florida saying about the stadium?
Yeah, people in Jupiter, Florida. That's a good question, Doug.
Thank you.
People in Jupiter, Florida were saying, St. Louis, is that the place with the arch?
No.
And I said, imagine if we had a soccer team. Then you'd be like, St. Louis, is that the place with the arch and the soccer team?
Right.
No, I'm joking. No, I mean, the folks that I've talked to, I kid you not, they're split 50-50 on this. I think the thing that I hear most is that there's a real big interest and understanding in what a professional soccer team, what hole that could fill, what entertainment value that could bring, what a stadium could do. There's a real hesitation in funding stadiums. There's almost like this allergy to public money for large enterprises like that because of the supercharged political election that we just got through, where you had a lot of red meat for the masses thrown out there in buzzwords, which were never explained. I mean, look at, I think that, you know, the governor when he was just the governor-elect in his welfare for millionaires phrase that he threw out there. I think it had no tether to reality, but it made for a very nice soundbite. And I think that still echoes. I still hear that from people. And it's not that they buy into it. I talk with folks who are curious, who do research into this, that do read. And it's not that they totally buy into it. It's just that they can't quite get over it. And I think that's a stumbling block. I have no idea. I kid you not, guys. It is probably for every one person I talk to that is caught up in the soccer euphoria or caught up in the idea that this could revitalize downtown or really add an endpoint to the revitalization of that archway corridor. There's somebody else who just gets hung up on the, well, we shouldn't be building stadiums with tax money.
Yeah, my concern, and I know the opponents will point to the dome and say, look what we did there. It's sitting empty. It might sit empty forever, still paying on it. So let's not ever do any major projects anymore for the city. Because
Comic-Con's coming to the dome, Doug. I don't think it's empty.
Well, it'll be mostly empty, for that.
Am I allowed to talk about life in the city because I did live there for a long time?
It's not that no one's allowed to. It's just, you know, like, can I give you a quick example, Kat?
We're not taking examples right now, Derek.
Yes, we are.
I'm taking them all over my chest.
We're taking examples, Derek.
Oh, no, this is a brief one. It's like, it's folks go, okay, hey, you know, you want to spend tax dollars for a stadium. Why don't, you know, you and the city actually take some ownership and spend tax dollars on police and schooling and improving the infrastructure? It's like, yeah, okay, yes, we would like to do that. But it's not an if-then situation. It's a, we know that this tax will go to a stadium. We are aware of that. If we vote yes for 1 and 2, we know where that tax money is going to go. Now, if there's an alternative that, hey, we were going to raise this tax money and it's going to go directly to these things, that's great, but it's not. And, you know, we would all like to see infrastructure to our various wards. Or improvement to our various wards. I live in an area where it would be great to have more businesses come in. We had a St. Louis bread company pull up and leave. It would be nice to see things. We have a pizza place coming in. That's great to see. Now, what is doing that? What is spurring that? You know, is almost peripheral to this. And so when I'm thrown, you know, this argument like, why don't you guys use tax dollars for something that actually improves people's lives? Well, this would improve people's lives. Oh, and by the way, the folks in the county would also benefit if, you know, there was a stadium here and not carry some of the tax burden. And that frustrates me. So there's the example.
You know, having lived in the city, maybe I'm jaded. And there were a lot of good things about it. But when you have a kid, and in terms of education, we thought it was best to leave the city. Mm-hmm. But I always felt like with things like this, where, and as you say, it's not either or. Like, this is something totally different. And if there were somehow I think the funds would get misappropriated anyway, and it wouldn't be better. I always feel like, okay, say no to that, because if we did this, it would be better over here, and you would never get to that point where things were better over there anyway. So go ahead and put the money into a soccer stadium. That can at least help.
It is a false argument when there's not that choice. If on the ballot it said, we're going to raise taxes and $60 million is going to go to schools and, you know, neighborhood watch programs and, you know, tax rebates for businesses. If we had that and it said, or $60 million is going to go to the stadium, then it'd be a different vote. But I think you said it well, Kat. It's very valuable to know where the money is going, to have a say in directly where that money's going.
And do we know for sure that they've left it wide open, that we don't know where the money's going if it passes? I mean, it's mostly a use tax, right? That's where it's coming from. It's going to come directly from the people using the stadium.
No, a use tax has to do on goods coming in as well.
Yeah, on certain businesses in the city.
That's right.
So I think for the most part, we do know where the money's going to go if these propositions pass, right?
Right. That's our point. That's what Kat and I are saying, is that you know where the money's going to go this time. It's not that you have an alternative choice.
Right. So if people vote yes, they know that this is not money that's just going to be floated out there and some politician's going to be able to decide where it goes somewhere down the road. You know where it's going to go.
Exactly. And it's not. Are we on the same page here? That's what we're saying?
Yeah. Right. And it's basically not coming out of your pocket unless you go to the games.
No, I mean, look, we know how tax works, and it can be, I'm failing here at 8 o'clock in the morning or before 8 o'clock in the morning on what the exact description is, but, you know, from, what was it, Guns and Butter, McKernan?
Guns and Butter, Walter Johnson, Doug, macroeconomics.
All right, so tax is a trickle-down expense, right, where it affects people who make less income more. And one of the ways it does that, Doug, is that if you have a use tax or you have some of these sales taxes that put a pinch on business, not that business shoulders the entire burden of it. They don't just say, oh, well, more taxes on us. Too bad. They raise prices of goods. And it's when you see the price raise of goods that that's where it pinches people. So it's not entirely that it's, well, it's no more money out of our pocket. Eventually, it will be. The other part of it that I think is interesting is that you have the STL group, the STL soccer group. They are not fighting the ticket tax, which, you know, the other, which the Blues for a long time said was a problem. The Cardinals have never had as a problem. They are going to have that ticket tax on there. And so you are going to see an added expense going to a soccer game than, say, you would going to the other professional sports in town.
Right. But at least the people going are the ones paying for it.
The people going are the ones paying that tax, or would be paying that burden, yes. But
right.
The other one would be shared.
Right.
Well, I like soccer, so I'm for it.
I do like soccer, yeah. Man. We had a little FIFA game this morning at our house.
Oh, really? Wow, it's an early game. It's an early start.
Too early.
Yeah, no, we had a 6:35 start time. Yep, first kick.
Wow.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Always.
Okay. It's the scarf thing that I just don't see, and I won't wear a scarf, though I will support the
team.
Are
we on the air?
Yeah.
Personal question on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I can't see myself wearing a scarf. I won't wear a scarf. I'll root for the team and be like a rights holder for them, but I'm not wearing a scarf.
What about a road kilt?
Are you not a
road kit,
not a kilt either.
You would wear a kilt.
Are you okay wearing scarves? Is that part of that flavor that you're looking forward to?
In the winter, I really like scarves. I enjoy them quite a bit. And I have since I was a kid. I think that if we're asking personal questions, I'll give you a personal revelation here. I think that probably comes from Doctor Who, that Tom Baker wore a very long scarf.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Tommy Baker.
Oh, brother.
I liked wearing scarves.
I opened a can of worms
here. Is that okay to admit here on your...
If there's
program.
One show where, well, you said sports, but if there's one program where it's comfortable to admit something, Doug, like that, it's right here.
Well, I guess.
Right. Okay, good. But a soccer scarf, no, Kat. I don't see myself wearing one.
All right.
Doug is not pro
well, that's
scarf.
Good. Not really, no.
Tim just goes with whatever accessorizes an outfit properly.
That's exactly yeah. right. That's exactly
because you're
right.
fashion-minded.
You right. like cats?
Ball caps.
Oh, ball caps.
Ball caps.
Derek Gould, our guest here. We're talking about the Prop 1, Prop 2 vote. I just had a friend of mine, Doug, Joe Stats. You know Joe Stats, don't you? He loves America.
Mm-hmm.
He texted me, just voted at my polling place, far fewer people than when I voted at the same place in the primary. Well, that's going to be standard.
Yeah.
Last time we had this general in 2013, it was 12.5% voter turnout, just to give you an idea. 200,000 registered city voters,
mm-hmm.
approximately. 12.5% voter turnout. To the Cardinals and back at it this evening as the schedule starts to get a little more real. They'll have a day off on Thursday before the Reds come to town. But with Adam Wainwright taking the mound tonight, it does seem like he is on a quest of sorts. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it will lead to success, but it does seem like he is on a quest of sorts. It's one of the articles this morning in the Post-Dispatch and online on stltoday.com about how he wants to prove that he is not on his decline. What is your read on proper expectations for Wainwright in 2017 as we see him make his season debut?
That's a great question.
Good job, Tim.
Thank you.
Danny Schwartz Insurance Agency right there in Columbia, Illinois.
It's a Lemmings gong, just so you know, Gouldsy.
Okay, got it. I think
it's a dumb show.
Yeah, they caught me off guard, but well done. I think, you know, is he going to – I think you expect 200-plus innings from him. I think you expect the quality starts cranking out. I think you expect that ERA to be, you know, in the threes, probably even a run better than last year's 4-6. I think that's where you expect him to be. I think when you look at the Cardinals' rotation, if Adam Wainwright has the third best ERA and the third most innings, and he won't be very happy with that, he won't settle for that. But if that's where things end, where somebody or two guys have more innings than him. Maybe even one guy has more innings than him. Two guys have better ERAs than him. And, you know, one or two. I think if he goes out there and he's third in a lot of categories, that's exactly the kind of season the Cardinals need from him. That, like I said, is not the season that he expects from himself. You know, what the Cardinals need and what he expects are different. I think what he expects for himself is to be about 2013. You know, that year that he had there when he was feeling both healthy but also, you know, just had a command of his pitches. It was about that time that he told me that, you know, when he's pitching well, and he reiterated this the other day when we talked about how he just has this focus where he's not hearing anything else going on in the game, but it's kind of a symphony that washes over him. And he's got a feel for his, you know, curveball like a conductor has his feel for his percussion. He has a feel for his, you know, cutter and his fastball like a conductor has a feel for the first and second violins. And he's got a feel for the changeup now that would, you know, be a feel for the brass section, that kind of thing. And he wants to get back to that point, which he feels he kind of had peak Waino in 2013.
I'm hoping he has a solid season. Here's why. Not just because that would help the Cardinals, and that would be good for everyone in St. Louis, kind of like building a soccer stadium. But he's such a nice guy. I mean, you don't have to read much to know that Adam Wainwright is a solid guy. And I felt it was torture for him last year after a good start, maybe two, and then he would backslide trying to find an explanation. My heart went out from, I don't want to see that again this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was clear during the season how much frustration he was having. I mean, just even going back to the middle of the season, he and I sat in Arizona and talked, and he was describing how it just felt like every pitch he was throwing was like 4, 5, 6 inches off. And if he tried to throw a curveball, and he felt like he was throwing it in the dirt, and instead there it was hanging over the plate. And he just was such a foreign feel for him. He just had no – I mean, the other day he listed – he goes, my curveball was awful. My fastball was awful. My cutter was – oh, terrible. Terrible was the word he used. It was terrible. And he goes, I did okay for 4 terrible pitches. And he kind of sometimes – or not kind of. He definitely, you know, is self-deprecating, and beneath that statement there simmers this real clear frustration as to what happened last year, and he's really eager to trash it. He said multiple things. He poked a lot of jabs at himself for last season, and then would just as quickly say, look, you cannot wait to trash it, put it away, and move one more start past it, 2 more starts past it. And that's essentially what he's going to, you know, he wants to do this season is, you know, quality start and a win puts him that much further away from last year. 3 quality starts and 3 wins puts him that much further away from last year. A 2 ERA in April puts him that much further away from last year. And that's really valuable to him and obviously to the team.
And they faced Jake Arrieta tonight, a guy they've not had much success against in the past.
Playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. Did he look like maybe he started to be human again towards the end of last year? Did he have a good spring? What are you expecting from Arrieta? Is he still one of the premier guys in baseball?
Yeah, I expect a monstrous year from Jake Arrieta. He's, you know, the innings total and how he carried that 2015 team caught up with him. I know that comes not as a surprise at all to Cardinal fans who have seen their starters do such a thing. You know, I mean, he was talking to Matt Carpenter during spring, and he said he compared Arrieta to Chris Carpenter and said that, you know, that Jake Arrieta is the Cubs version of Chris Carpenter, where it just happened to be the Cubs that gave him a chance to get right, to get well, and then to take off, just like the Cardinals did, you know, what, 15 years ago, almost 15 years ago now, for Chris Carpenter, and that it was the Cubs that benefited from taking that chance, and it was Arrieta who then led them to the playoffs and led them to that win in the wild card game against the Pirates. It was an incredible game. But that took a toll, especially for a guy who had never done work like that. And you saw some of the fraying last season. Now you have a guy who is on the verge of free agency, very, you know, whatever motivation you think that provides. The same is true for him and for Lynn. And, you know, I think you're going to see a dynamic Arrieta. Probably he'll reassert himself as – when I look at the Cubs pitching, he is not the question. Every other pitcher is on that staff for me, but he's not. He's the bulwark. He's the guy who is going to have a tremendous season. And if the Cubs, who we think they are, he's going to end probably in that top five for Cy Young voting.
Derek Gould with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Derek, we appreciate it. Enjoy the discussion on the soccer stadium and, of course, the Cardinals. Thanks so much, sir.
All right, guys. Thank you for being patient with me as we work through it.
Thank you, Derek.
Hi,
Derek Gould with us on the appliances counter phone lines here in the 7 o'clock hour, which is brought to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling, serving the St. Louis area since 1904, the number one train dealer in Missouri. We're going to have Design Air out at our homes. We recommend it to you as well. Before the weather gets too hot, and then all of a sudden you find out your air conditioner doesn't work, have Design Air come out now and do a maintenance check, and that way you're ready when the weather gets hot. I see a forecast having weather reaching near the 80s here in the next 10 days, so be ready for it. It is coming, and make sure you're doing business with Design Air Heating and Cooling, 314-739-1600, or visit designairservice.com. It's Design Air Heating and Cooling. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Now, Doug, we were supposed to have Ralph Malfon. That's Donnie Most to you, not the intern.
Sure.
But the actual Donnie Most.
Finally a legit interview.
Right. But Dave Peacock bumped him. And so, Iggy, you're going to do an audio postcard with Donnie Most?
Well, I mean, I'll try to get something out of him. Normally, I do audio postcards with chicks. It's kind of, you know,
Hi, Iggy. You don't get much
out of the dudes.
Well, you're a ladies, man.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't get creepy with a dude, so I don't know what I'll get out of him. I mean,
can I ask a favor, a request?
Sure.
Because I've been dying to know this for many years. What type of French fry does he favor? I think a lot of people would be scared to ask him that.
Yeah.
I'll throw it in there. I mean,
see if it's steak
if the texters want to throw questions in, I'll use your questions, and then maybe you'll listen to the audio postcard because maybe your questions will be in there.
Yeah. 855-282-8255 is how you can text in on that and perhaps give us your feedback.
I'll ask the obvious. I mean, you know, there was a show, Joni Loves Chachi, but did Joni bang Chachi? That's what everybody wants to know.
No, I think the fry thing first.
Right.
Okay.
And we'll probably get some questions about sharks on the text line, I assume. Because at some point, that Happy Days did jump the shark.
No, it did.
When that's where that whole term arises, when Fonzie jumped the shark in that episode.
That is
so
correct.
I think this ties into shark talk nicely, actually.
Doug, we are in the Gateway Buick GMC studios. Gateway Buick GMC is at I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. They're online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. If you're in the market for a new car, what about a used car? Maybe you just need to get your car worked on. Go to Gateway Buick GMC. Their service department is now proud to announce they're one of the only dealers in the area qualified to say they are a certified elite service department. What that means for you is comfort, ease, and the quality care your vehicle deserves. With over 37 service bays, they get you in, out, and on the road. And Gateway Buick GMC offers a shuttle service and online appointments going on now for a limited time. Enjoy a $25 gift certificate to try their service department out for yourself. Shop online at stlouisbuickgmc.com or call 888-865-9419. That's 888-865-9419. Just got this text. Hi, Tim. Hope you have a great day. You deserve it. That's from Runner Girl.
And that is from Danny Schwartz, insurance agent to the stars. He's licensed in Missouri and Illinois, handles auto, home, commercial, life, your toys, boats, ATVs, campers, motorcycles, everything. Danny Schwartz, Farmers Insurance Agent, Columbia, Illinois.
There's so many lemming examples on the text line that Tim has to sift through them. One gentleman said that because you wanted an example on your chest, so did he.
Oh, really?
Because you're the best.
Mm. Yeah, I guess I did bad. Doug, was that 12.5% turnout Nov election or last mayor election? Ryab with an R and a N.
Nice text there. Very nice.
It might be a code.
That was from April of 2013, so the answer to your question is neither. Tim, thank you for your questions to Derek. They were insightful. That's from the White Collar Gangster. Now, he's usually a Charlie.
Thank you, Schwartzy, for the gong.
Doug, for decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with getting ripped off, started off Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet. Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Great news! Harry's is so confident you'll love their blades, they're giving you their set for free. Just cover shipping. Your free trial set includes Truman Set Ergonomic Handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and post-shave balm. That's an $18 value for you to try, but this offer is only available for our listeners if you use the promo code INSIDESTL at harrys.com when you check out. That's all one word, INSIDESTL. Start getting a great shave right now with this amazing free trial offer, $18 value for free. Just cover shipping. To get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and post-shave balm, go to harrys.com right now and enter code INSIDESTL. Check out. That's harrys.com, code INSIDESTL. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today. We close out the Design Air 7 o'clock hour, and we get you ready for the great Larry Nickel and Dave Peacock. Kind of a standard 1-2 punch coming up. Plus, your emails, the Hot Shots email today. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.